Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
It is a Monday. Potential stories breaking in the NFL. Live in Los Angeles, it's the Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be listening. 1 hour from now, Colin Right, Colin Wrong, Fox Sports Radio, iHeartRadio, FS1. Joy Taylor is back. Brief sabbatical from our show. Great to have you back.
Glad to be back.
You know, I was thinking about something. So my son, his mother's Italian.
Okay.
And so when he, like his birthday, he gets to say what he wants for dinner. And my son's always like, tiramisu. And I've always contended, it's the greatest thing on the planet to eat. But when people list their favorite desserts, you just forget about it. You go ice cream and cookies and cake. Nobody ever says tiramisu. And I contend you can do it with coffee. You can do it by itself. It's the greatest thing, the greatest tasting thing ever created on the planet.
Strong.
It reminds me, I know I love analogies of Steph Curry. And that's where I want to start. Steph Curry, been almost 2 years since he's been in a playoff game, June of 2019. So he's been out of NBA fans' consciousness. And they're not thinking about Steph. He's not in the big playoff games. And didn't see him in the bubble. It was a year before. Where's Steph been? Oh, he came back last night. He was finally back on television. I don't know. Dominated the All-Star weekend, won the three-point shooting contest, and essentially decided the basketball game between the world's best players. Giannis wasn't the MVP. 13 of his 16 shots were like dunks and layups. Please. You know, 2 weeks ago, LeBron came out. He's like, yeah, Devin Booker is the most disrespected player in the game. Bruh, LeBron, I love you. Guys never won a playoff series. Come on, LeBron. Steph Curry, there's been this weird resentment around Steph Curry. You know, he grew up with money. You know, he's not a real, he's a little finessy. He's got a little shake, but he's not real physical. He doesn't dunk. And everybody loves these hyper-athletic point guards. Derrick Rose and John Wall and Russell Westbrook. They don't make anybody better and they can't shoot. How about a new rule on our show? If you're a 6'4 guard and can't shoot, go play football. I'm not interested in you. Devin Booker, he's not the most valuable guy on his own team. It's Chris Paul. Nobody would dispute he's great. But I've always thought it's really, Steph Curry's fascinating. We just forgot about him for 2 years. But when he won that unanimous MVP, the first ever, there was this weird resentment around him. Remember this couple years ago, guys were talking about their favorite players and everybody's like, Westbrook, Westbrook, Westbrook. I'm like, can't shoot. It doesn't make anybody better. It doesn't make anybody better. Steph Curry shooting is better than anybody else in the world at anything they do in basketball. That's how good he is. Okay, think about this. Who are the three guards that are aging well? Dame, Steph Curry, and Chris Paul. Why? Two of them are great shooters. The third's a great leader and a good mid-range shooter. And there's always been this weird resentment about Steph. I mean, I think fans like him and kids love him. But the only thing he really stinks at is shoe design. Outside of that, he's the best shooter in the history of the world. He's the best ball handler I've ever seen. And he's probably the best superstar teammate. Oh, yeah, he's got three trophies. And none of those hyper-athletic guards that are on the cover of Slam magazine have any trophies. He's got three. One before KD, two after KD. And this year, with virtually no help, he's second best year ever, 30 points a game. But for some reason, when you start naming great players, I don't know what it is. He just gets left off. I mean, every time there's a list, it's Kawhi, it's Giannis, it's Embiid, it's KD, it's LeBron, all great players. And, Steph, well, he shoots. I don't know, it's crazy, but isn't that the league now? Well, you're not a great defensive player. Who is in the NBA not named Kawhi Leonard? I mean, seriously, who's a great... Harden plays no defense. Kyrie plays no defense. Luka plays no defense. Zion plays no defense. LeBron does what he's in the mood in June. So I thought it was great that the guy that was out of our consciousness for a couple of years comes back and takes over the weekend. He's probably the weakest all-star there, probably has the smallest bench press. He doesn't really dunk, although he got one this weekend. I know he's kind of finesse. His shoes look like something a pharmacist would wear. Totally, I'm all in on all of that. But I love the fact that he dominated the weekend with the world's best basketball players. And I love LeBron James' tweet yesterday. Finally got to share the floor with Steph. Well overdue. Loved every second. Greatest shooter all time. Changed how the game is played by himself alone. Respect beyond words. Thank you. Finally, the best player who gets it now gets it. All right, this is something. And we're going to have a lot of talk this week. Because now we're moving into late first week of March, free agency in a couple of weeks. According to Greg Bedard, he's a real reporter, a journalist. He said on his podcast, Jimmy Garoppolo, by far and away, represents New England's plan A at quarterback. So officially, New England has a plan. Now, their plan is a quarterback on another team that's not a free agent, so this is essentially tampering. This reminds me of the Knicks' many attempts to get KD, Kyrie, and LeBron. But Greg Bedard's a legitimate reporter, and when you got Marcus Mariota, Cam Newton, who is and a fifth best quarterback in the draft, Jimmy Garoppolo feels pretty good. And I also think, we know the book on Garoppolo. He was supposed to start four straight games in New England when Brady had Deflategate. He was hurt by the second game. That's kind of his history. He's also been hurt in week two, twice with the Niners, and once in week three. But this makes sense. The reason it makes sense, because we've now, I counted this morning, four rumors that San Francisco's not in love with Garoppolo. Four different stories have made Twitter with legitimate reporters. What's the rule on this show? Stuff gets out when somebody wants it out. So San Francisco's telling everybody, we're moving off Jimmy G. And the second thing is, New England's fairly desperate. Their plan A, according to Bedard, is a guy in another team that's not a free agent. So I think, and here's the interesting thing, and this is what I think really makes the NFL the best sport in the country. Even though you can seem hopeless, you're never really that far away. And I'll give you an example of New England. Now, we know they cannot draft wide receivers. They can't. They just can't do it. Belichick's hole in his game. Every great coach has a hole. That's his. That is his. And we also know they don't have a functional tight end since Gronk left. And we also know Cam struggled to basically throw the ball past 10 yards down the field and complete it. But you could make three moves, all completely, utterly doable. And New England would absolutely be a playoff team. Let's start with Garoppolo. If Garoppolo, behind a very good New England offensive line, stays upright for 14 to 16 games, they have a ton of cap space. You go get wide receiver Allen Robinson from Chicago, a tremendous player. And then you move up in the draft from the 15th spot. Let's say you got to get to 8. You don't have to get to 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. But if you can get to 7 and 8 and you draft the tight end Kyle Pitts, tomorrow I would say New England's a playoff team. And this is the essence of the NFL. New England last year, we're watching him, and it's like, God, this is – Brady's winning Super Bowls. This is kind of pathetic. They get all those guys that opted out back in. Mike Lombardi, former guy in the building with New England, said in a podcast yesterday, this is really doable. John Lynch, the Niners GM, likes Sam Darnold a lot. You can get him for a second pick. He's more athletic with better raw tools than Jimmy Garoppolo and doesn't have his injury history. Now we get a story that New England is absolutely plan A, far and away from Greg Bedard. Jimmy Garoppolo is their guy. So I buy this reporter. I buy this story. I think it makes New England, if they can go get a free agent receiver and move up slightly to get that great tight end in the draft, they're a playoff team. I mean, they're not going to win Super Bowls, but they're a playoff team. And that is not as embarrassing for Belichick. You make the playoffs. Belichick in a playoff game always has a chance to out-coach somebody and win it. You're not going to win three or four playoff games. They don't have the personnel. So this feels like a real story. I would not be shocked. Darnold now, Sam Darnold has a real market. Washington does not have a quarterback. Chicago, according to a story this morning, wants Russell Wilson. I don't know how they get him. They just don't have the quarterback, the pieces. I virtually impossible. I think it'd be a great fit. I don't know how they get him. And San Francisco now, according to Bedard, Mike Lombardi, Darnold, Garoppolo moves east. Darnold moves west where Lynch likes him. We got real stories. All right. Also, you know, Joy and I often talk about we like aggressive general managers in all our sports. Dodgers go get Mookie Betts. Brooklyn has done a really good job. They went and got Blake Griffin. You get rewarded for being aggressive. What you don't get, the Green Bay Boston Celtics feeling, which is, you know, 401k, you know, don't buy stuff until you need it. You live in this lane. No reason to go in free agent market. That stuff makes you competent. It doesn't make you great. And great is usually going for it with Mookie Betts and going for it, you know, Matt Stafford, going for it, elevating yourself to a new level. Here's one move that sounds great, but I don't buy it at all because I think the player's really special, but I think the trade proposition, the people who don't think a guy is great, is actually greater. So this is a go-for-it move I don't like at all. That's coming up.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sportsbook, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hustler Turf Equipment, most complete lineup of residential and commercial zero-turn lawnmowers in America. Over 1,000 dealers. They know what they're talking about. Visit HustlerTurf.com, HustlerTurf.com. Good to have you in. So I'm a fan of going for it. Be aggressive. If you hear no, figure out a way to find yes. John McClain, big reporter in Houston, said, here's an idea with Deshaun Watson. And last week, John McClain, the leading voice in Houston, said, it's time to move him. He's not coming back. Let's figure out something that works. And his idea is trade Deshaun Watson from Houston to Arizona for Kyler Murray, who is a legend in the state of Texas. Okay, if I'm Houston, that's a great idea. If I'm Arizona, I'm going to pass. And I know most of you think I'm nuts. Four things to consider. Kyler Murray, still on that rookie contract. Cost me nothing. Number two is, he has no injury history, and he's a former baseball player. So like Russell Wilson, he's a great slider. He rarely gets hit. Number three, sorry, but he throws a much better pure ball than Deshaun Watson. And number four is, he's ascending. I don't even know what his ceiling is. He hasn't played that much football. Listen, Deshaun Watson's a stud, but he's getting kind of thrown into this Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson, Pat Mahomes, Tom Brady class. Folks, Deshaun Watson went 4-12 last year. Russell Wilson's never had a losing season in the NFL. We're starting to lump him into, like, he's got one playoff win. And I like Deshaun Watson. I like him a lot. But Kyler Murray, we don't even know his ceiling yet. Won twice as many games last year in a significantly tougher division. The best division in football. With some of the better defensive minds. Robert Saleh was a defensive coordinator, now a head coach. Pete Carroll. So Deshaun Watson's last playoff game, he was outscored at one point 51-7. His last nine possessions, he got points on one of them. I like him. In fact, I really like him. He doesn't throw the ball like Mahomes. He doesn't win like Brady. He doesn't completely control a franchise like Russell Wilson. And I don't think he's just a naturally gifted thrower like Aaron Rodgers. He's great. But I don't even know what Kyler Murray is yet. All I know, and I don't even know if Kyler Murray has a legitimate NFL head coach yet. I don't know if he does. He absolutely has the fourth best coach in his own division. And he went from 5 wins to 8-8 with an average O-line, probably the fourth best coach in his division, And Arizona's not totally rebuilding, but there's a reason they went and got J.J. Watt. There's a reason they went and got a year ago DeAndre Hopkins. So I would not trade Kyler Murray for Deshaun Watson. But when I got a kid that good, and I still don't know if I'm at the ceiling, former baseball player, slides well, never gets hit, absolutely throws a better pure football than Deshaun. I've said this. Kyler throws about as good a football as the league has. Aaron Rodgers won. No one did about six guys. Stafford's in that class. They throw a beautiful ball. Joy with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Tensions are high right now between Russell Wilson and the Seahawks.
Oh, boy.
Rumors that Russell's time in Seattle could be over are only heating up because the team sent a letter to their season ticket holders. And in the letter, the organization thanked the fans for their support in 2020.
That's
told
nice.
Them what they can look forward to in the future.
Yeah.
Mentioned several players.
Really?
Russell Wilson was not one of the members of the team that was mentioned. DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett. They also, of course, mentioned Pete Carroll and John Schneider.
Oh, of course. Got to mention those guys. People
new
love
offensive coordinator Shane Waldron was also mentioned.
In the news, in the season ticket letter.
No mention of their franchise quarterback.
Isn't that interesting? I mean, how petty is that?
This is not an accident.
Of course not.
You can pull a lot of things. But we know a letter that is going out to season ticket holders has been proofread by quite a few people before it got sent out.
The new offensive coordinator and Tyler Lockett are on that letter. Okay.
Uh-huh.
All right.
But yeah. No mention of Russell Wilson.
Yeah, no. Yeah, don't want to mention him, the greatest player in franchise history.
I personally feel, I'm glad you mentioned that, because I personally feel like this situation is a complete insanity. There are certain situations where I get why there is some tension and why, you know, things are starting to get ugly. This is not one of those situations. We are talking about Russell Wilson, who will be a Hall of Famer.
Oh, he's there. He could retire today. He's a Hall of Famer.
He will be a Hall of Famer. You're not going to replace him. Not that you can replace Deshaun Watson, but you can go into a total rebuild. You're not going to replace his talent level.
Right.
But you can go into a rebuild. This is Russell Wilson we're talking about here. You're upset with the amount of drama that's happened since the end of the season. Russell Wilson has been the best company man in the history of company men. If I was getting sacked 44 times a year, I wouldn't say one nice thing about you. Not one. Every single interview, go Hawks. He's perfect. He could run for office tomorrow.
Yeah.
And the entire country
would
vote for
him. My sister never liked sports. And then Russell Wilson arrived in Seattle, and she's sending me Seahawk green hearts every time they win games. She's freaking out. He literally changed the entire Pacific Northwest and pro football.
What is he asking for? A little bit of input on personnel, which you don't have to listen to. You can just listen to him talking about it. You don't actually have to do it. He wanted some say over the offense, which he is pretty much responsible for because Pete Carroll is letting him run around like crazy and get sacked 44 times. What is he really asking for? A better offensive line? Dare he?
Outrageous.
It's really, I don't get it. I don't get it. But this was not an accident. This was a message.
That was petty.
This is, 15 people read that. No one was like, guys, I didn't see Russell's name. Like, yeah, it's fine. Just
Can
it
you
out.
Imagine Green Bay Packers sending out a newsletter to season ticket holders and Aaron Rodgers is not in it? Or in Kansas City and Patrick Mahomes is it?
It'd be embarrassing. Happening in New England.
That's another place that lost their quarterback. There you go.
There you go. Speaking of that guy, Tom Brady is reportedly close to restructuring his contract with the Bucs. He has 1 year remaining on his current deal. And according to Adam Schefter, there is a good momentum towards a contract extension that would keep Brady in Tampa for a longer period of time and help the team with cap relief. So we all obviously always know Brady as somebody who takes less money, but he joined the Bucs last March on a 2-year, $50 million deal that is fully guaranteed. So his $28.375 million cap hit in 2021 is almost $12 million higher than any other player on Tampa's roster. So a new deal would free up some cap space that the team could use to keep the many free agents that they have right now, including someone like Chris Godwin or Shaq Barrett. The Bucs are currently projected with $12 million in cap space, so that's the 17th most in the NFL. So not in a terrible position, but obviously they want to run it back again, which is something that was a priority for Tom Brady as well. So they're probably going to end up restructuring this, which means he will be on a longer deal.
Yeah, I mean, you can make a very compelling argument that taking less now, it just strengthens. The more he wins Super Bowls, the more his brand is strengthened, and the more money he'll make post-football. I mean, he really has gotten to a point where, after this win, the two Super Bowl wins for Brady, that are, they're almost like, oh, he went to another level, the Atlanta one. And I was there for that one. That's one of those. That's when Tom, after that one, started doing a lot of commercials. It's like,
I feel like that was the one where anyone who was on the fence about whether he was the greatest or not was like, all right.
I give up. And then there's...
What's the point? Unless it was Nick Wright. But everyone else was like, he's obviously the best.
And then this one, where it's like, yeah. Oh my God. He literally, with no camp, no TAs, new offense, goes, beats Aaron Rodgers, beats the Saints, beats Patrick Mahomes. The two Super Bowls that have taken him to a different level. And so I think at this point for Brady, it's like, I'll get this money back, but I'll just get it back from Chrysler.
Well, I don't know that he's give up guaranteed money. Like, that's kind of difficult to give up, even at Tom Brady's level. Like, you're going to give up guaranteed money. I don't think he's going to do that. But he'll probably spread it out over the next two years so that it gives them some more cap relief. Because I don't know how you're walking away from $25 million guaranteed. That's a lot of money for anybody.
Yeah.
So Blake Griffin has officially signed with the Nets. Love it so much. After his contract was bought out by the Pistons last week, I love what the Nets are doing. It's amazing. He agreed to a veteran minimum contract, and the team reportedly plans to use him as a small ball center coming off the bench. I realize this is not the Blake Griffin of old. He hasn't dunked since 2019, and he's averaging 12.3 points, 5.2 rebounds, and 3.9 assists per game. He's not the same Blake Griffin. He's not flying around.
No
it's
question.
Not Lob City. Like, this is a different Blake Griffin that you're getting. But I do think that he does add value as a veteran player, as a very intelligent player. And we saw last year with the Lakers, you can bring in some veteran stars, guys who used to be superstars. And if they are willing to play a role on a contending team, it can work.
Yeah, I mean, listen, this is the momentum that happens when great guys join. You know, we always go, oh, I can't believe this star went there. But if you go back and look at the Miami Heat LeBron, it wasn't just the star. It was players. Well, Andre Iguodala stayed with that Warrior team, not making nearly what his market value was. And Shane Battier and Ray Allen came, and they probably had a greater market value. It's not just getting Harden and KD. You're going to get all these veteran guys that are like, listen, I got $140 million in the bank. You know, it's like Jay Glazer saying, driving to the facility, knowing you have no chance to compete, the NFL's no fun to work in.
Right.
Same thing in the NBA. It's a winter league. You're getting on a plane knowing you're going to lose 4 out of 5 games. So for Blake Griffin, it's like, of course, these veteran guys are like, I got to be honest with you. Nobody stacks up with Brooklyn now in the East. To me, and I don't even like Blake Griffin. I think he's a great athlete. He's never a real fluid basketball player to me. But he's going to give you 6 to 8 points off the bench in a play. I mean, he works.
He feels like a player that could play a significant role in, you know, one of those games down the stretch in the playoffs. And you're like, they wouldn't have done it without
Dwight
him.
Howard was actually valuable in the playoffs. And Blake's better than Dwight at this point.
It's really. I just love how aggressive the Nets, unapologetically aggressive the Nets are being this season.
Yeah, no, I think it's great for all sports. Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Lie News.
Boy, I'll tell you what, there's all, I told Joy today and the producers on the show, I said, I don't keep my phone around me mostly during a show. I want to concentrate. I said, Joy, stay on the Twitter with all these great NFL reporters because I just have a feeling in the next couple days something's going to break. Monday Morning Quarterbacks Albert Breer joins us now, sponsored by Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing. Okay, let's first react. Greg Bedard's a legitimate reporter. He says, hey, far and away, Garoppolo is plan A. And my takeaway, Albert, is it's not unrealistic. I've seen 5 different stories that Niners aren't in love with Garoppolo. I don't think that's a surprise. And New England's getting to a point, if desperate's not the right word, they don't have great options. This feels like something, doesn't it?
Well, I think it's always been sort of at the top of their list. We know what Bill Belichick thinks of Jimmy Garoppolo. In fact, if you go back to 2017, early that year, he didn't want to trade Jimmy Garoppolo. And I'm not saying it happened at gunpoint or anything like that. But I Bill was very, very reluctant to move on from a quarterback that was that young, that he had sunk 3.5 years into developing. And so I absolutely think if Jimmy Garoppolo becomes an option, he'd be at the top of the Patriot list. The question is if that becomes an option. And my understanding all along here, Colin, has been unless there's a clear upgrade to Jimmy Garoppolo, the Niners aren't going to move off of him. They believe that his contract for now is manageable. It's got 2 years left. It's team friendly and that it's non-guaranteed going forward. And they really feel like they can win right now with their roster. So if Jimmy Garoppolo becomes available, yes, the Patriots would absolutely be interested. The question is whether or not the Niners are willing to move off of Garoppolo, which would necessitate a clear upgrade becoming available to San Francisco.
Okay, so let's listen. I've always been a Darnold fan. I'm a little bit of a USC fight on homer. You and your Buckeyes, me and the Trojans. But it does appear, Albert, he's got a market now. He's got Washington. I mean, that's not even, I think that debatable. Chicago's got to be on the radar. I was told by somebody I trust 2 years ago, they liked him out of college. They liked Darnold a lot out of college. What are your sources telling you on Darnold's market and who's contacting the Jets?
Well, they haven't gotten anything to move to make them move yet. They've talked to eight teams at this point. That's a quarter of the league, so there is interest there. The question is, what will get them to move early? Ideally, the Jets would like to get a full file on the three quarterbacks who will be available to them with the second overall pick. The problem with that is that Zach Wilson doesn't throw until March 26th, and Justin Fields doesn't throw until March 31st. And once you get there, now all of a sudden you're past the start of free agency. Some of the quarterback seats have filled up across the league, and the question becomes whether or not you're going to be able to get fair value for Sam Darnold in return. So I think the Jets right now are, you know, kind of looking at it like, okay, if someone blows us away right now, we're willing to move Sam Darnold. If not, we'll wait until we see the quarterbacks throw so we're sure about Wilson, so we're sure about Fields, so we're sure about Trey Lance, who throws later this week, and then maybe we'll put him up for auction. So I sort of think that they feel like they're operating from a position of strength here. And this is one where I really would not rule out the San Francisco 49ers. You talked about Garoppolo potentially becoming available for the Patriots. That, I think, is one to watch. He's a strong fit for Kyle Shanahan's offense. The Jets, I think, believe he needs a new start. There's a relationship there. Robert Saleh, of course, came from San Francisco. And if you look at it from the Niners' perspective, this would be an opportunity to get 6 years younger and $20 million cheaper at the quarterback position at a time when they've got to take care of their left tackle, Trent Williams, who will not be cheap.
Boy, that's a great point. That is a great point. So Darnold, San Francisco. By the way, I'm not supposed to root, but after what he had to go through with the Jets, I feel like he deserves, the football gods should give Sam Darnold like a restart.
And think about this too, Colin. Like the offense, like the way that they were trying to get him to play his first 3 years in the league in New York, it was like advanced calculus, right? Like Adam Gase was trying to play him like he was like a Peyton Manning or like Jay Cutler later in his career when Adam had him there. And I think the feeling among people around Darnold is that he could really benefit going to a place that's going to simplify it for him, that's going to help him slow the game down a little bit and take advantage of his athleticism. And I'm telling you, that's what Kyle Shanahan does best. He's going to take a lot of the mental strain off of the quarterback and just get the quarterback playing fast. That's the whole idea of his offense. And so you add that to the fact that in San Francisco, he'd be throwing to George Kittle, he'd be throwing to Debo Samuel, he'd be throwing to Brandon Ayuk, and he'd have one of the game's best offensive lines in front of him. Again, like if there's a place where Sam Darnold's going to flourish, San Francisco makes a lot of sense.
Well, I saw a story this morning about Jalen Hurts that I think is the right decision, and it's the just decision, and what's been an enigmatic and sloppy offseason. I'll let you tell our audience, the Jalen Hurts, Jeffrey Lurie, the owner, has come out with kind of a referendum, a proclamation on Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, and I think Lurie wants to support Hurts, but that doesn't mean the Eagles aren't going to do their research. And I think I told you this a couple of weeks ago on the show. They've only picked in the top 10 in Howie Roseman's 21 years with the club twice outside of having to trade up to get there to go and get Carson Wentz. One time was in 2013 when they took Lane Johnson. The other time was in Howie's first year when they took Corey Peters in the first round. And so you look at the logistics here. Like, I don't think they plan on drafting this high, you know, annually. And we don't know what's going to be available at quarterback in the next couple of years. It's not like there's another Trevor Lawrence in the pipeline right now where you're looking and saying, okay, the next year or two, there are going to be more quarterbacks available. And so, yes, the Eagles want to support Jalen Hurts. At the same time, they definitely want to look at the players that are going to be available with the sixth overall pick. And like I told you a couple of weeks ago, Colin, their plan is to very much go through all the paces with Justin Fields, with Zach Wilson, with Trey Lance. Who knows if those guys are going to fall to him, but they at least want to be prepared and at least know if we're going to pass on these guys, we want to know what we're passing on. And if they see something really special there, maybe they take a shot at another quarterback at number six. I would not rule that out right now.
All right, Albert Breer, Monday Morning Quarterback. Great seeing you as always. Appreciate the updates. Thanks, man.
All right. Thanks, Colin.
It's interesting. You know, we get to the point, this happens every year. There's four or five college quarterbacks, and everybody does their mock drafts. And they got them, like, drafted 1 and 7 and 13 and 28, and then the draft comes around, they're all in the top five. It's a quarterback league. Look around. Look at the quarterbacks. Look at the teams that were left at the end. Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady and Mahomes and Josh Allen. You got to have a quarterback or the rest of it's, you know, it's kind of nonsense, right? And but even as I look at all these quarterbacks, and everybody wants to go out and proclaim this kid's going to be great and this kid's going to be great. It's fascinating. Mel Kiper came out today and he puts Trevor Lawrence in his 10 greatest quarterbacks in the history of the draft. His analysis, they're his highest ranked quarterbacks. And it is remarkable, even for them, we'll talk about this next, how brutally hard it is to win big in this league. We'll talk about that coming up.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sportsbook, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good to have you in. Weathers, we're still not out of winter totally, and here comes the wet spring. Get Michelin Endurance XT silicone wiper blades designed to repel water. Get yours today at Walmart. Lasts two times longer than other blades. Very encouraging news around America with vaccines. Over 2 million now a day. Americans being vaccinated. So that is, like, cross your fingers, 11 million people in California alone. So cross your fingers, get your vaccines. Good news. Light at the end of the tunnel. So Mel Kiper, draft guy, Trevor Lawrence is, I've said before, Elway is the best prospect ever. Andrew Luck to me second. And the third best prospect of all time is Trevor Lawrence. That doesn't mean he's going to win a bunch of Super Bowls. It's hard. But Mel Kiper came out with his highest graded quarterbacks ever in the history of the NFL draft. Now, two of them didn't work. Andre Ware and Ryan Leaf. They didn't work for whatever reasons. But here's what I look at. So for our radio audience, it's John Elway, number one, Andrew Luck, number two, Peyton Manning, number three, Trevor Lawrence, number four, Jim Kelly, number five. Those guys were, four of those five were great. Then it's Andre Ware, Drew Bledsoe, Ryan Leaf, Troy Aikman, Josh Allen. I didn't know he had Josh Allen as a top 10, so he looks pretty smart today. But here's what's interesting. Only three of 10. These are the greatest guys with the most leverage. Everybody knew were great. Three of 10 won a Super Bowl with a team that drafted them. John Elway, it took him forever. It took John Elway 14 years. And this was a well-run franchise. Like, they had good defenses with Elway. Pat Bowlen's a great owner. What? The late Pat Bowlen. Great owner. They were always good. Took him 14 years. He needed a great running back, Terrell Davis, to win. And that's John Elway, the best prospect ever. The second to win with the team that drafted him is Troy Aikman. His first 2 years, he just lost a bunch of football games and was not very good. Okay, Troy Aikman's the second. You know Troy. And then number three is Peyton Manning, who I think his fourth year led the NFL in interceptions and really struggled for the first decade in the playoffs. Was known as a little bit of a teeth clencher, got a little tight in big games. So think about that. Now, and eventually, Aikman and Peyton Manning got Hall of Fame coaches, And did Elway got Shanahan? He's a Hall of Fame coach too, isn't he? Did all three get Hall of Fame coaches? And they got a bunch of great players around him. Aikman got, you know, Emmett Smith and great offensive line and Michael Irvin and Peyton Manning got Marvin Harrison and Edgerrin James. So now think about this. Mike Shanahan's not in the Hall of Fame. That's straight, should be. So just think about that. So of the best, highest graded quarterbacks of all time, three, these are for the superstars, won a Super Bowl with the team that drafted him. Elway took a decade and a half. Aikman was bad and his teams were awful early. He needed a Hall of Fame coach and Hall of Fame players around him. And Peyton Manning struggled in the playoffs forever, really was good in the playoffs later in his career, and he needed a Hall of Fame coach and Hall of Fame players around him. So that's why if you're Russell Wilson, you got to be careful. You got to be really careful if you're Russell Wilson. Pete Carroll's probably going to make the Hall of Fame. And, I mean, let's be honest. Since Russell Wilson's been in Seattle, they've had Marshawn Lynch, they've had Richard Sherman, they've got K.J. Wright, they got Bobby Wagner, they got Dwayne Brown, they have D.K. Metcalf, they had Doug Baldwin, they have Tyler Lockett. They got some good players. They've had some. They had Earl Thomas. So, like, I like Russell Wilson. Be careful. Like, for the great ones, the grass is not greener. It is really, really hard. Incredibly hard. Here's the other thing on that list that it kind of made me laugh. So, you're seeing this now. So, he's got Trevor Lawrence is the fourth best quarterback prospect of all time. And now you're starting to hear this. It is such nonsense. You're starting to hear this narrative. Oh, Zach Wilson is better than Trevor Lawrence. Okay, no, he's not. No, he's not. One's a prodigy, one's a prospect. And Zach Wilson may be a great prospect, but he's a prospect. Okay, and Trevor Lawrence, it's going to be an uphill battle to even get to championship games in the NFL. But this happens all the time. This happened to Andrew Luck. Is that because Trevor Lawrence has been anointed number one for so long, everybody's tired of saying nice things about him. We're just over saying nice things about him. And then this new flashy guy comes in, who he's the new toy. And everybody's like, oh. Okay. Trevor Lawrence, I always said this. Johnny Manziel beat Nick Saban one time and the world freaked out. The world freaked out in Johnny Manziel. And I said, yeah, but go back to when he beat him. Alabama had come off back-to-back, highly emotional games. Johnny Manziel comes into Tuscaloosa a third week in a row, and he totally caught Alabama in the first half off guard. Totally caught him off guard, running around doing Johnny Manziel stuff. And then the next time he faced him, he lost. But Nick Saban had 5 days to prepare for him. Nick Saban had 6 weeks to prepare for true freshman Trevor Lawrence. 6 weeks from the greatest college coach ever. And Trevor Lawrence at 18 ate him alive. That's a prodigy. Ate him alive to win the national championship. Okay, you got to get over this. I don't want to hear about Justin Fields and Zach Wilson. These are really good high-end prospects. But you see this in music. You see it in arts. Serena's a prodigy. She's not a tennis prospect. She's a prodigy. That, like prodigy is somebody that people see at 13 and go, Tiger Woods is a prodigy. And you see this, like 4 or 5 kids a year in America go to Harvard and they're like 14. Those are prodigies. You see it occasionally in music. I watched the 60 Minutes piece about a year ago. You occasionally see this stuff. Now, in Hollywood, they think everybody's a prodigy at 15, and those kids end up going off into the rails and off into the weeds. They're mostly attractive kids with aggressive parents. They get an acting gig, and it almost always ends poorly. But prodigies are when you see somebody like LeBron, Bryce Harper at 14, and you're like, oh, he's going to be a superstar. And then they are. That's not a prospect. Trevor Lawrence is not a prospect. I saw him play. You go to all of his stats, 2018, 2019, 2020, they all just grew. Yards per attempt, completion percentage, yards per game, passing efficiency, up, 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 up. And he was great as a freshman. There is no slow growth. There is not this. It's all linear. And again, I'm not saying he's not going to go to Jacksonville. I mean, that defense is atrocious. They're going to have to win by shootout. Their offensive line isn't terrible, but it's bottom 15 in the NFL. It's not a top 15 offensive line. And Urban Meyer should be a very good recruiter early in the draft. I suspect he'll have a very good first 2 or 3 years, but we don't know if Urban Meyer is going to, we don't know if he's going to segue into the NFL game and be great. We don't know that. I think he will. But Urban Meyer told me for years he didn't even watch the NFL. I'm not joking. Like when he first came to Fox, I would ask him NFL questions and he would be like, I don't know. I don't really watch it. I watch game film on Sunday morning for Ohio State or Florida or Utah. I don't really know. So I think he'll work. He's a quick learner. He went all in 2 years ago in the NFL, but we don't know that. So, but you know, you don't confuse prodigy with prospect. Okay, your kid and my kid, they're very good college students. My kids get good grades, but you know what I mean? They still, you know, sometimes do kid stuff at like 14, like inappropriate social stuff and their kid stuff, because they're not prodigies. They're just goofy, great kids who, if they work hard, they can get good grades. Okay, big difference. Save big on your water and energy bills with a Navien tankless water heater. Tankless water heaters provide instant and endless hot water for spa-like comfort. Navien makes it easy to go tankless. All you have to do, visit tanklessmadesimple.com. Tanklessmadesimple.com. We do it every Monday. Colin right, Colin wrong, and we are monitoring every minute of Twitter today, because there's a lot of stories out there with the NFL, more thoughts on the NBA All-Star game as well. I thought it was actually pretty fun. I still can't believe a guy jumped over two people in a slam dunk contest. The Herd.